If you build it, they will come. Yeah, right. Fellow coders, if you're full of amazing ideas and have created amazing products but can't seem to get them off the ground, welcome. This is the Coder Startup, the show where smart programmers come to learn what it really takes to create, market, and sell a brand new product, and most of all, make it profitable. Now here's your host, successful software entrepreneur, Trevor Page.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Coders Startup Podcast with myself, Trevor Page, joined by Carter the Marketer Johnson. This is episode 51 now, coming at you live, and we are talking sales today, and it's going to be a good episode. It's going to be rapid fire, so put your thinking caps on, pay attention, let's rock. How you doing, Carter the Marketer Johnson?
I'm good, man. It's one of those weeks just flying by. Is it Wednesday? No, it's Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah. We record Thursdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us live, etc. So.
Awesome. Yeah, let's get into it, man. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, let's rock. So Carter's actually got a jet in about 30 minutes, so that's why it's going to be a rapid-fire episode. We're talking about specifically what's working today, 2016, January, in small business sales. Because you hear a whole bunch of stuff around tactics, strategies, and whatnot, and those could all be dated and you know, ancient history. So this is what's working today. Like I said, we're recording late January 2016. So if you're listening to it in and around 2016, maybe even still 2017, it should still be fresh and good to go. So specifically for me, I'll launch into an example that I've done. I've managed to accrue some decent sales in my new monthly recurring revenue product. So I run a product now called Coders Campus. It's like a subscription membership type website where I take all of my products and sell them in one place. So if you want to learn how to be a well-rounded developer with respect to full stack development, you can join my Coders Campus and you can learn everything from start to finish. And it's pretty cool. So the key was, how the heck do I get people to buy in to this subscription product? Because it's a little cheaper than my other higher ticket price items, but it's still a monthly recurring revenue type system. So it's still an ongoing ask for my customers, right? So how did I do it? Well, I sent out an email series with one simple strategy in mind. Give. And I know we hear this a lot. We hear this in, you know, we get hammered over the head, especially through, you know, Gary Vee with his jab, 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 right hook. But there's a reason why Gary Vee is so successful. And there's a reason why he wrote a whole book on it. And there's a reason why it worked for me in my business, is because people like to get stuff for free and people like to consume it and feel like they are getting something of value for pretty much nothing other than being part of your email list. So There's a whole wealth of knowledge around the psychology behind it. Robert, whatever, Giovaldi, or however you pronounce his name, he wrote the book, not the Book of Love. What is it called? Isn't that terrible? I probably have it behind me. Wait for it. No, I don't. Anyway. I can put it in the show notes. I'll jot it down and we'll get it in there. But it's all about, you know, the psychology behind giving something to someone for free. We've talked about it before. There's a need of reciprocity in there. They feel like you've given them something for free and high value, and then they feel indebted to you, like they need to give you something back. And not even that. It's not just that psychological aspect. There's also the aspect of, hey, this guy's really cool. He's giving me stuff for free. I like him. Right? We've talked about know, like, and trust. Your customers need to know you and like you and trust you typically before they're going to purchase from you, because we're all jaded now with respect to spending money online and scam artists and that and the other thing. Totally. So know, like, and trust is very important. And this is one great way that I did it to build the know, like, and trust with my audience. I gave away five different super long webinars that I had recorded. I recorded them before. I packaged them up and gave them away for free to my audience. And what I did was I snuck in the middle of each video and at the end, so you can all think of it as a mid-roll and a post-roll with respect to advertising, I advertised my own product. So I took the webinar, I looked at the recording, I played it, I looked around halfway through and looked for a nice cadence, spot where I stopped talking or where I was switching topics or something. And I said, boom, that's a great spot for me to plug my own product, the Coders Campus product. So That's exactly what I did. I put a video of myself that I recorded after the webinar talking about this great product and how they can get in there and they're going to get access to this, that, and the other thing. Benefits, benefits, benefits. You always talk about benefits. Start with that, lead with that, follow it up with features. And then I hit them with scarcity. Benefits, features, scarcity. I mean, it works for me time and time again, whether it's in an email listing benefits, features, and plugging in some scarcity, or if it's in a webinar, or if it's in a podcast, or if it's whatever the platform, this is the strategy that outlines what has worked for me in my business is telling them about the benefits, why they should listen to the webinar, why they should purchase my product, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what is going to be the benefit to them. And then, yeah, features, scarcity. So the scarcity for me was after my whole webinar series was done, after I gave away those five webinars for free, I had a 3-day countdown saying you have 3 days left to take advantage of jumping on board and using a coupon code. So I gave them a coupon code for 15% off. I said in 3 days, the coupon code goes away. But one thing that was interesting that happened was, sure, a lot of people joined up. I expected that. That was great. But people are still joining after the deadline has finished. And that was a bit interesting. That mm-hmm. was a bit different. And the only thing I can think of that plugs in with that is I had instilled in them the value of the course outside of just the coupon code.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time I pitched it, I said, hey, guys, it's insane value just as it is. Even if you can't use the coupon code, if you don't get it in time, it's still worth way more than I'm charging, which it is. And that's truthful. I truly do believe that. But it's even more reason for them to jump on board with the coupon code because they're going to get the discount for life. Because that's mm-hmm. what I said. It's literally going to be the lowest price I'll ever charge for it. And I'm confident in that. If they joined up before the coupon code expired. So,
and that's a great point. I was actually on a, it was a Mindvalley webinar, nice. Mindvalley Insight webinar the other night, and they were talking about, they used a similar strategy. I think they actually extended one time low price and they honor that, you know, everything. They know that, yeah, it's going to be on sale for 6 days and then it will never be that low again. And they do the exact same thing. And then they honor that, that whole offer and never drop the price below again. And people still, you know, get it because it's still so valuable, but it does reward the people who are taking immediate action, who have shown up to the webinar or watched one of the replays in the, you know, the recent days. So I think that's a great strategy.
I've loved it. And I mean, outside of that, if you don't like doing discounts, we talked about this before, so I won't go into it. If you don't like offering a discount, you can offer them a bunch of bonuses,
sure.
So extra stuff. Hopefully it's a lot in terms of the value of the bonuses. So, you know, one person I'm working with did, it was the bonus package was worth like over $2,000 worth of stuff and they were giving it away for free. So if you're to purchase it separately, you would pay $2,000. And just hearing that, and the product was like $200 or $400 or something. So you're getting four times the value in bonuses on top of the purchase of the product. And it's like, oh my God, like that's incredible. So that's another way to spin it too if you don't like to discount your stuff. Now, the last thing I'll throw in, actually, I've been speeding through this.
You've been flying. I'll talk,
and then I'll flip it over to you. Does that sound
okay.
good?
Yeah.
So the other thing is, so build everything I talked about, the benefits and features and whatnot, build that into your email series when you're selling them on watching the free stuff that you're giving them. Don't assume that just because you give them a link to some free stuff that they're going to click on it. You still need to sell them on clicking on it in every single email. So that's why in every single email, use the copywriting stuff, the you know strategies with copywriting, outline things with bullet points for those who skim through emails, use headlines, use, you know, if you want to highlighting, use bullet points to tell them, to sell them on why they should watch the video or consume the content for free. Because just because it's free, like I said, don't assume they're going to do it. That gets the engagement going. And et cetera, et cetera. It rolls, trickles down from there into an eventual sale. Now, one thing that is really cool that worked well for me with this is that I'm going to be even implementing even further is make sure you chain together your automated emails. This is something that I have been preaching and I haven't been implementing as well as I could be. And the what I'm saying is,
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So build in contingencies. So what happens if you send out the email and someone doesn't consume the content? You can, with the email service providers like Infusionsoft, ActiveCampaign, I'm sure ConvertKit, any of the more powerful ones outside of probably MailChimp and AWeber can support this kind of, you know, tagging where you can know if someone did or did not consume the content. Now, it can be with consuming the content, or it could be with making a purchase. If someone does not take an action that you want them to take, and you do not have a contingency in place, you're losing out. Example, let's say they didn't watch the first video that I sent out. I said, hey, here's a free webinar. It's awesome. Watch it. If they did not consume that piece of content, it would be nice if I could also send them a second email and say, hey, I get it. You're busy. But seriously, you know, since you didn't watch this video, seriously, you need to take the time to watch this video. It is so important. So even if you just have one contingency in there to remind them, hey, don't forget to watch this, it's awesome, you can double your engagement in terms of your overall funnel. So the more engagement you get at the front end, the more sales you're going to get at the back end. All right. And you can apply that same example with whatever you like in your sales funnel. So a great one is if someone doesn't buy, if someone doesn't make the purchase, don't just give up and assume that they're never going to be interested in, ever in purchasing something from you ever again. Build in a contingency, make them a different offer, maybe offer it again in 2 months. Doesn't matter, right? A great one, this comes from the digital marketer book called Invisible Selling Machine from Brian Dice. This is one that I have yet to implement, but it's going to be killer, and I know it's going to be killer because this is exactly what John Lee Dumas does with his sales funnel. He gets you in with a great lead magnet, one that's high converting, works well. For me, it was offering a course for free. This is something that I'm probably going to be re-implementing, is giving away a course, a mini course for free. Has great, you know, conversions. Maybe around 25% of people who land on that page will convert into a lead. Give them the free course. So just like I said, give them the free content, sell them on it, et cetera, et cetera. But if they don't make the purchase at the end of the funnel, send them to something else, like an evergreen webinar. My evergreen webinar sales funnel has been kicking butt. However, what I could do to make it even better is take the evergreen webinar funnel series to sell them on taking and attending the webinar and plug that into where they fall off the end when they don't make a purchase. So the webinar delivers value in and of itself. So why don't you, so this is what John Lee Dumas does. He gets you in with a lead magnet. You either become a customer or you don't. If you don't become a customer, he invites you to his webinar every single week after week after week after week after week. He invites you to the webinar because he knows that once you're in that webinar and you've consumed the webinar, you have a very high likelihood of converting into a sale. So this is something that the digital marketer people talk about in their book.
And is it the same webinar?
Same webinar over and over again.
Until you go in.
And the subject line that the people at Digital Marketer talk about is, use a subject line that says, still struggling with ... So for me, it's like, still struggling with programming ... Or still struggling with making sales online, still struggling with losing weight. Whatever it is, when you see that email land in your inbox week after week, at some point there's going to be a connection where maybe you're pulling your hair out trying to learn something with coding, you're learning a new language and something is making you upset or whatever, and you see this email perfectly timed landing in your inbox saying, still struggling with programming? What's the likelihood that you're going to click on that finally and maybe even take action, right? I love this. And it's like this, you're either going to consume the webinar or you're going to opt out of the list. And that's okay, because you don't want to have people on your list who aren't interested in your stuff anyway. And there's different ways that you can, you know, maybe you don't send the same subject line every single time. That's kind of a lazy way to do it. But that is going to increase your sales guaranteed. And that is what, for me, is working in my business in 2016. Take it away, Carter Johnson.
Dude, that was a mouthful. Are you still breathing?
I've been working out, so I have lots of energy and I'm feeling great. So there you go. It's coming through.
I love it. Yeah, man. So that was great to hear, because I'm always fascinated with what you're doing with funnels, because you're doing such a great job. I love how automated it is. You know, that allows you to scale, especially when you hit on something that works. Because on the flip side, being more in the service business, more customized from client to client, where we struggle is usually at the capacity point, right? Because so much of what we do, either upfront acquiring the client or ongoing with the client, It's actually man hours. It's man hours from the team. It's man hours from myself. So that's something that I'm constantly projecting and playing with and modeling out and figuring out, you know, how much can we turn up lead acquisition while still maintaining stuff over here. The biggest struggle there with us is actually the people, like, you know, the heavy lifting, because essentially if we scale up, we got to hire more people and we've got to adjust for that amount of time and everything else. But that's another conversation. So let's just talk about what's actually working. I think it goes exactly back to what you were saying. It's so relevant in any business, and it's totally just delivering value up front. And what I mean by that, we have multiple channels that we use for acquiring clients. A lot of those are through either referral based, affiliate based, or just our paid ads that we do. You know, we actually acquire new leads from that way. But once we actually make contact with that customer and get them to raise their hand and say, hey, I might be interested in this, that's when we jump on an actual one-on-one call with the client and get a better idea of their business. Because, you know, there's, despite what you think you know about an industry or a business or a company you're talking to or read on their website, it's really good to understand that company through that business owner's eyes, right? So we jump on the call and we do a one-on-one conversation to really understand their business, understand what they're struggling with, going back to that email like you were talking about, so we can figure out if it's a good fit. And one thing that we've transitioned to, I'd say in the last year or so, is really turning away people who it's not a great fit. And I think we've talked about that in some shows where it's great once you get to that point where you can actually afford to work with people who you really want to work with. And then also ones that where it's a good fit and you're not actually like trying to force it in there, if you know what I mean, on both sides of the party. So from there though, you know, the big thing, again, going back to what you're saying, it's all about delivering value. And for us, what we found works hands down is actually showing that we can walk the talk. Because often at times when people are speaking to us about our services and working with us, they're talking to a lot of other companies too. They're shopping things around like anyone would with a big purchase decision. And we found what really differentiates us and something that anyone out there can do, but it's actually proving you know what you're talking about. So let me give you just an example.
Love examples.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the big clients that we landed a few months ago, there was, I'd say, five or six different conversations, you know, back and forth. And when I say conversations, these are hour plus meetings. So there's a lot of upfront work that goes into it. But because they usually stay with us for about six plus months and it's recurring revenue, you know, it makes sense economically. Like, we couldn't do this if we were selling just a $27 product or service and, you know, spending 5 hours. But we do these ongoing meetings. And after we've figured out like their business, what their goals are, what their struggles are, we go to work on actually building out the entire plan. So we put a ton of effort and time into actually creating this plan of, hey, this is what we do. This is the first 30 days, first 60 days, first 90 days. And we take it back to that client and actually show it to them. We essentially give it to them. And here's the thing. Most people think that if you actually like give the solution to your potential customer, or heck, just give it to your competitor, they're gonna take it and they're gonna have no need for you. But what really happens, and what we found, when you actually show that plan to them, you all of a sudden differentiate yourself, because you're not just a person who's talking about, hey, we're gonna get you these results and sounds like you're off in the land of Wizard of Oz. You're actually showing them a roadmap. This is what we're gonna do. This is how we think the results will be at this point. This is how we're going to adjust if they're not. And you actually demonstrate that you know what you're talking about. This works for us. It works so much better than presenting case studies and presenting references and presenting tripwires in the form of information. It really is what allows us to get business. I think once, if we have an appropriate fit, last time I checked and looked at our numbers, when we have a good fit, so someone who can utilize our services and we're not, you know, forcing it, it was around an 80% close rate once we get to that stage where we can actually, yeah, it's insane. So looking at that, for us, and this is, Trevor, we talked about this in the mastermind a bit, we had to step back and say, okay, who do we want to work with? Because if we can, instead of like going through all these channels of, hey, these leads came in, these are okay fits, these are decent, this one is great, and doing all this work, you know, for the whole bucket and then finding only one or two, we had to step back and say, how can we make sure that anyone entering our funnel, we're qualifying them right there before we actually get on a phone call and start investing this upfront time and showing them this is what's possible. Because it's a lot of heavy lifting that we do just to, once we get to that point and we start pursuing that client. But yeah, it goes back to what you were saying, Trevor. It's all about delivering that value up front, demonstrating that you know what you're talking about, and really showing them what's, you know, what's going to go into that process to get those results that they want. And that for us has been really, really working well. I know we're more in the service niche. We're doing more customized stuff, but that's what's working for us right now with small business sales. Nice.
And I think to extrapolate from that, to make it generic, it just sounds like, you know, telling someone what you can do for them is pretty generic and pretty basic and okay, fine. Like for you, yeah, we can help your business grow their footprint on Google and get you more organic traffic. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, I can help you become a programmer who rocks. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. But when you show them how, like you said, that roadmap of how we're going to make it happen, that's where the game changer is, right? If I Absolutely. Can give away content that shows them that I can take them from someone who's, you know, a beginner programmer to an advanced programmer, if I can show them how to do that, then I mean, it's just implied that clearly I know what I'm talking about and I've got the authority and I would be a good fit as a person that they should, you know, partner with or purchase from, you know, what have you, whether you're doing service industry or whatnot.
And look at the underlying tone. I mean, what you're essentially doing is giving the prospect, giving the potential client what they need to make a confident purchasing decision. No one wants to feel like, should I have done that? Should I have not? No. And the way to bridge that is to give them everything they need to make that purchasing decision. Right. I just think that's so valuable, and it's applicable to what, wherever you are in business, like whatever you're doing.
Very generic. We're all human beings. Yeah. We all work the same way.
No one wants to feel stupid. People want to feel confident when they're making a buying decision, and they want to have confidence knowing that who they aligned with, who they're doing business with is actually the best person for that. So yeah.
And I also quick tips here. You also were mentioning about having other customers backing you in terms of, you know, giving you reviews or whatever, testimonials essentially. I don't know if you do testimonials or not, but testimonials are huge in terms of sales. I read a report recently from Samcart, the people I use for my checkout pages and stuff like that. They ran a huge split test on all their customers and looked at the data, and they said one great testimonial beats out three like so-so testimonials. So if you have like three, even if you have one great testimonial and two so-so testimonials, take the so-so ones away, just show the one great one. So that was an interesting result. And they said that the best number in terms of conversion rates is five. If you can get five testimonials, five beats out four, five beats out three, and four and three are kind of the same, and two is actually worse than three, which is, or two is worse than, is that right? Is worse than one. There we go. Two is worse than one. Like I was saying, it's better to have one great one versus two, whatever.
Because two kind of looks like you're stretching it, whereas one's just like, boom, we don't need to brag about everything else, probably.
That's right. So, but they said five is great because then people are like, oh my God, there's just too many, and more than five is not good. So five is the key number. So if you can get five testimonials, boom, there you go. Otherwise, just pick one great one and show that one. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
One last thing I wanted to, well, not last thing, but one thing I wanted to mention in terms of our whole talk here was a mistake that I made when I first started as an entrepreneur. And this is a mistake that I kept on making for 2 years. So this is something that a lot of beginners do in terms of beginner entrepreneurship, and yeah, this is hopefully something that now you can listen to me focus. If you've drifted off and you're you know
doodling
or if you're doing the dishes and you've blanked out, pay attention. Hey, we'll do a moment of silence to get you back.
They're back.
Okay. So I made this mistake for 2 years straight. What the mistake was is I would give away value, which is exactly what I said we should do. Great, grand, mm-hmm. fantastic. I gave the value, but then I had no call to action.
Mm.
I was so bad at not having a call to action because I was afraid to do it. I don't know if I was afraid to do it subconsciously or actively or what, but it took me 2 years before I said, hold on a second, my email funnel, my sales funnel after they sign up is just me giving stuff away and never really asking for the sale.
Yeah.
So you have to be intentional about it. You need to not be afraid of asking for the sale because otherwise what's going to happen? You're not going to make any sales, which is more or less what my business was like in the first two years of its existence.
That's so weird you say that because I remember us talking about stuff like 2 years ago and I struggled with the same thing. I think it was more or less like, hey, you know, I want to dip around the issue here, which is we got to make a decision. Are we going to do business together or not? Right. And what changes that? Do you think it's just confidence after you do a few or like, what is it? How can we fast track that for people?
Yeah. So for me, I had to do the 2 years of realizing that it wasn't working and mm-hmm. then finding an article from Digital Marketer that said that outlined the path to success. Mm-hmm. Which was I think it was called customer value optimization. If you were to type in Google customer value optimization, mm-hmm. You'll get the digitalmarketer.com article that will explain exactly what I'm talking about. But that's where it outlined, you know, the steps to success where you have to have your call to action in there. Otherwise, there's no real point other than, I mean, you're building goodwill with your customers, but
sure.
That goodwill doesn't take you far enough because if you're not making any money, then you can't stay in business and then you can't continue to provide great information and great help to your customers because mm-hmm. businesses need to be profitable in order to keep running, right? Yeah. You got to keep the lights on. So
totally.
I don't know how I can help fast track you. If you were the listener and you are struggling with this as well, and maybe you don't realize you're struggling with it, I mean, how else do you snap them out of it other than to say, how are your sales? Are they doing all right?
Yeah.
If they're not.
I think it's too. It's just, you know, step up to the high dive and feel those butterflies rush through you and ask for the sale. And after you do it, you know, after you do it a few times, you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. But, and that's the thing with business, entrepreneurship, everything. There's always going to be that next thing that's like scary, right? There's always going to be the new frontier. Like maybe it's actually asking for a sale. And then maybe it's hiring team members, and then maybe it's I don't know, getting a credit line from your bank, and then maybe it's selling off equity, or maybe it's raising money. Like there's always going to be something, and yeah, I mean, it's, I think we go back and forth and a couple months and through conversations and then maybe coaches and stuff, and then all of a sudden you just get up there and swing and you're like, ah, it wasn't as bad as I thought.
And I mean, what's the worst that can happen, right? You'll know. You'll get feedback from your leads. If you're being too salesy or what have you, they'll let you know. Because, I mean, I have a lot of pitches in my emails. And I got one guy today who emailed me just today, which kind of sparked the thought of how to sell and everything in my mind, and which is why we're talking about this today. He sent out an email sort of passive-aggressively saying, essentially, he was a freeloader, so he was, you know, passively aggressively saying, oh, I thought the email list that I subscribed to, your email list, was going to be nothing but free stuff, and I was really looking forward to it, and I see now that you're asking me for a sale, and I guess, you know, in this world, nothing really is for free. And it's like, well, yeah, of course it's not free. But I said, hold on, buddy. So I replied to this. Normally, you shouldn't, you know, give ammunition to these quote-unquote haters, the freeloaders. But I said, hold on, maybe, you know, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe you don't realize I have free information that you can consume from three different places. And I told him to my, you know, pointed to my blog, my podcast, and my YouTube channel, and said, there is hundreds of hours of free mm-hmm. content that can take you from zero to, you know, intermediate level coder for free. All of that's available to you. You just need to go out and get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get there faster, if you want to have an organized way to approach the problem and to solve the point of, you know, getting from zero to advanced level programmer, then buy my stuff. Yeah. I'll help you get there faster. That's my offer to you. So, that's pretty much what everyone does. That's what any product is there for, is to help speed up the process from zero to whatever the result is that you want to achieve.
You could go out and build your own house.
That's right.
Yeah. But it might take you 10 years doing it. You know what I mean? You got to chop some wood and learn how to lay bricks and everything else. Or you could hire somebody to build a house. Like, that's why they're in business.
That's right. So like I said, what's the worst that can happen? You get someone like that who complains, and then look what I did. Hopefully he says, oh my God, I didn't realize that you offered all that stuff for free. I'm going to go check it out. Right. That's the worst case scenario. And that's not even that bad of a case scenario. So unless you're being really, really salesy and you've got a small email list and like five people are emailing you complaining, that's a good sign that maybe you're being too salesy and you should let off the gas a little bit there. So, yeah.
Real quick in closing, though, I can tell you a story, and it'll take 2 minutes. It was actually a company that is set to go public, and I know they're on the fast track. I know the investment bank they're working with and everything else, but nonetheless, just so you understand the magnitude, the size of the company, the growth projection and everything else, about a year and a half ago, I was working with them, just helping them do some stuff. They wanted me to put together a proposal, and the feedback I received was I actually was not salesy enough. Mm. And like, it just got put on the back burner and never happened because of that. And I was talking to one of the decision makers, and he was like, yeah, man, you got to be more salesy. Like, you have to. And that, I mean, right there, that cost me a ton of business with a company that's on an exciting trajectory. So it's a good lesson.
Call to action. Don't forget it. So important. You know, do it like, I don't know, 5-to-1 ratio. If I'm going to throw a number out there, because I like numbers, I'll do 5-to-1. Give them 5 things for free that are awesome, and then ask them for the sale. Or better yet, if it's a huge piece of content, stick in your sales ask in the middle. Because if someone is interested enough to get to the middle of the content, they're going to be interested in what you're selling, so long as what you're selling is congruent with what you're giving away for free. So, and I'll close out with a quote, a paraphrasing from Ryan Dice, a digital marketer. Love this. This goes along with your house thing. He said, let's say you're sitting down for dinner and you want to make yourself some rice. How are you going to do it? And he said, well, clearly you're going to go out, you're going to buy some land, and then you're going to go and you're going to you know, help farm the land a little bit, get it ready to plant the seeds. If rice come in seeds, he was talking about that. And you're going to plant the rice seeds or whatever, and you're going to water it. So you're going to pay for an irrigation system, and you're going to get, you know, you're going to pay for the water to water all the area of land that you purchased or leased or what have you. And you're going to grow it. And then come harvest time, you're going to get some, and you can see where he's going. Yeah. No, that's not how you make rice. You go to the friggin' store and you buy some friggin' rice.
Like, totally.
That is how the world works. And the example he was talking about was traffic. And he was using it in terms of you know, starting a blog and waiting a couple of years if you're not using professional SEO services to build an audience for your blog. Okay, mm-hmm. you don't build it in terms of waiting 2 years and hoping in 2 years you're going to make a return on your investment. No, you're going to go to the store, and the store in this case is paid traffic. You pay for ads, Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, what have you. You go and you buy the traffic, and then you figure out how to make it profitable and how to get your ROI there. That'll be a future episode we'll talk about once I've got a bit more under my sleeve with respect to paid traffic and stuff. I've got some cool stuff I'm working on right now. We'll talk about that in another episode. But I thought that was pretty applicable to our conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There you go, man. Anything that you want to talk about in closing before you got to run?
No, that is it. Great episode. It was fun.
So I'll say you can go to codersstartup.com/51 for the show notes. And if I can get my trusty show note creator to throw in for our app of the week. Again, I've mentioned this last week, but I want to re-mention it this week. It's the Habit Bull app, because I'm absolutely loving it. It is keeping me on track with my habits and building them, because I got 3 main habits that I want to build. Habit Bull, check it out. It's a great free download. I absolutely love the app. It's working wonders in my life. So I'm going to re-up this app for this week. So there you go.
Nice.
Cool.
Awesome. Cool.
All right, Carter, as always, pleasure. And I'll catch you on the flip side, I guess. Until next week.
Sounds good.
See you then, my buddy.
All right. See ya.
Adios.